Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And we're not experts.
No, we're not. But we're two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And before we get started, we want to remind you that you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Forever35Pod, Instagram at Forever35Podcast, and you can join the Forever 35 Facebook group, where the password is serums.
There is also a Forever 35 subreddit at reddit.com/r/Forever35. And we love to hear from you. Please call us, text us, email us. You can leave us a voicemail or a text at 781-591-0390. You can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. You know, we haven't mentioned this in a while, but we do always appreciate a rating and or review on Apple Podcasts. And we also appreciate it when you tell friends about our show. So please do all of those things. We appreciate you.
We really do. Thank you so much for supporting us over the years.
Yeah. And Kate, I'm so excited about this episode.
This is the requested, can we please hear from some essential workers episode?
Yeah.
So, as a reminder, or if you didn't hear the original request, we received some listener feedback, which we'll read up here at the top of this episode, asking that we really try to do a deeper dive into what this pandemic and self-care looks like for people who are on the front lines. Because as you may have noticed, if you've listened to the show before, or if you're brand new, Dori and I work from home. We worked from home before this pandemic. We spend a lot of time talking about our sweatsuits and if we're ever going to wear jeans again. And
it's true.
Quite frankly, there are people who are working in person, who are, you know, working on the front lines, who may not be able to relate to a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about. So we've sent out a request for feedback and experiences from essential workers who listen to the show. And we're so grateful that so many of you wrote in, called in, sent voice memos, sent texts. We literally couldn't make this show without you. So thank you. So to kick things off, should we revisit the original email request that we received?
Let's do that.
Okay, so this person wrote to us and they said in very kind words that they felt that our quarantine content has become increasingly difficult to listen to. I am an essential worker and my experience of this COVID year, along with many listeners, I'm guessing, has been so different from those who have been able to work from home. At this point, I consider it a dream and a luxury to be able to do things like forgo work clothes and bras or comfies, have time to explore different approaches to cooking lunch, take my mask off to eat in the safety of my own home, or even spend so much time around my family for them to start getting on my nerves. I would love to hear an episode where you address specific questions related to the stresses that doctors, nurses, retail workers, teachers, and all other essential workers have been going through this year. Having to interact with the general public on a daily basis is a particularly scary thing right now. It would be wonderful to hear from others who are going through this traumatic experience. So, listener, original listener, we so appreciate this message because it resulted in this episode. So thank you for reaching out. Yeah. So here's how one person responded. They felt very seen by that message. They said, as an essential worker, I was so grateful for the message that person sent in to you ladies, as I too could not really pinpoint my resentment. I enjoyed so much of the podcast, such as a mental break every time I tune in, get some great ideas. But I did feel a bit of resentment because so much did not apply to me. I still had to get up, prepare, go to work, and put on my PPE, face the public every day to the point of exhaustion, sacrifice my personal life, no time to worry about gray roots or dry hands. I am just happy that someone brought it up. And they very nicely said, I just love you guys, truly. Being able to listen and unwind, get ideas for new products and regimens, I appreciate the woman pointing out that self-care and survival looks different for those of us who are, quote, essential. I would love to work from home and struggle with the idea of establishing a routine while in PJs, but instead, I am always worried about washing, sanitizing. The latest anxiety inducer is, will my mask strap break, and the impact all these masks are having on the environment. I would love to hear more about how people are balancing the rest of their lives while still working full time. The struggle is real. You know, I think it's a really interesting thing that the original emailer and then this listener bring up, just in like in feeling, I mean, resentment is a word they both use, but also like things that it feels like many people are dealing with, like those of us who are in the stay home world, that it does not apply to you. And I imagine it must, resentment seems to make total sense to me. Like it's got to be really effing annoying and frustrating to hear people's like woes of making bread when you're getting up every day and dealing with COVID on the front lines.
Yeah. I mean, and also just, I was just thinking about all the kind of like extra stuff that they have to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just like roll out of bed and go to work. It's like what she says, you know, washing, sanitizing, will your mask break? Like just, it's like stress on stress on stress.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point you bring up, because that was kind of a recurring thing that people mention that we'll hear throughout this episode is you're right. Like they're, it's not just their regular, it's not just your regular job anymore, even though you're still going to work. And that is, frankly, I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Yeah.
We received a text from someone who said, as a physician working in the hospital, I too feel disconnected from the, quote, typical pandemic experience. On my better days, I feel grateful that I get to continue with meaningful work with incredible colleagues. On my hard days, I feel stuck, terrified, and overwhelmed.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. All we can say is that we see you. That sounds really tough.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, it just feels, I imagine it must feel never ending. So
yeah,
that's frustrating. All right. Should we hear some voices of essential workers?
Yeah. So in this, the first half before we take a break, we've got some people working in medical fields. So we're going to kick things off with a medical frontline worker voicemail.
Self-care in the time of COVID. Oh man, that's a pretty big question, because on one hand, the answer is easy, as in self-care, what self-care? But on the other hand, all year I've been just not beating myself up about doing things I want to do. Like, you know, yeah, I ate too much and I drank too much and I put on about 30 pounds this year. My scrubs totally don't fit correctly. But on the other hand, the other option seems to have been a nervous breakdown. So I got a little fat. Now, at the beginning of 2021, I've come to terms with the fact that every day at the hospital is going to be a shit show. It's still going to be scary. It's still going to be full of COVID people. I'm still going to do CPR on people who are exhaling COVID virus at me. It's just going to be how it is for a while going forward. And the trade-off can't be my own body. So I let it go for 2020. And I'm reining it back in for 2021. And you know what? It feels better. It gives me a little more optimism and hope that by treating myself well, eating well, drinking enough water, actually going for an intentional walk in the sunshine, all of that feels good. I remember why that used to be my life until COVID came and derailed everything. So I hope that helps. Basically, that answer boils down to I'm taking care of myself again, and that'll let me keep taking care of other people.
Makes me emotional hearing you say that.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad this listener is finding things that feel good for their body and their mental well-being.
Yeah. And it sounds like this listener is giving themselves grace, which I imagine must be tough under the circumstances as well.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we have an RN who weighed in.
Hi, my name is Katie. I live in Southwest Michigan, and I am calling in response to your request for information for how the pandemic has been for essential workers. I am a frontline healthcare worker as an RN on an acute inpatient unit, and my husband is also an essential worker. He works in retail at a business that's considered essential in our state. So this means that our day-to-day lives have not changed as dramatically as they have for other people as far as our schedule goes. Of course, everything about what makes up our days is very different, just like it is for the rest of the country. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was really scared. Not so much that I would catch COVID or someone in my family would catch COVID, since we are at a lower risk for having complications from the disease. But what I was terrified of was that our hospital system would be overwhelmed, like what we were seeing happening in New York, or what's closer to home for me, in the Detroit area. Fortunately, in our area, the initial surge was not as bad as it was in large metropolitan areas. So that gave our healthcare system time to prepare and plan. But after a summer of lower numbers, this fall, we did surge again, this time worse than it was in the spring. And the unit I work on became first part COVID and then all COVID. We had the benefit of planning and time and adequate amounts of PPE, but what we couldn't create were enough healthcare workers to take care of the increased patients that we had. This isn't a challenge that is unique to our area. It's happening all over the country. And it meant that my coworkers and myself had to pick up extra shifts to meet the need for the patients we had. My initial panic at going to work and facing overwhelming amounts of patients without proper resources or PPE has subsided, but the past 2 months have been tough. Our floor rarely sees patients die, but since Thanksgiving, we have had a large number of patients die. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's been hard on my team members and myself. We also have seen a much higher acuity in the patients that we're taking care of, including high flow oxygen, which is something that we never would have taken care of on our floor prior to COVID. With all that being said, though, I view this pandemic as the equivalent of our generation's world war. I have felt really called to serve my community during this time, and I feel proud of the work that I've done. I don't regret choosing this profession, and if anything, I have found even greater meaning in the work that I have been doing. I've really appreciated your show during this time. Forever 35 and I'm Here For You especially helped at the beginning. It kind of helped to normalize an abnormal situation, and it also helped to hear that other people were having similar emotions, even if their individual experience of the pandemic were different. And it's also been heartening to hear you two take the pandemic so seriously when not everyone in this country has taken it as seriously. Anyway, things are getting better here. The numbers in our area are going down. I also got the second dose of the vaccine last Friday. The side effects from it did kind of kick my butt, but I would do it again. It was so fucking worth it. And it is the ultimate self-care. As an essential worker, I might not be sharing the experience of working from home or school over Zoom, since my kiddo is not school age, but I do feel connected to your experience of athleisure wear. On my days off when I'm not wearing scrubs, which, let's be real, are basically just a step up from pajamas anyway, I've been hardcore embracing yoga pants, cozy tops, and thick soft socks. So I'm going to sign off uncomfortable shoes never, elastic waistbands forever. Thanks so much.
Aw.
Yeah, you are.
I love that.
The vaccine is the ultimate self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Amen.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
For calling.
Thank you. It was unbelievable getting to hear about your experience. And I was thinking about what they said about us taking it seriously. And mm-hmm. I reflected on the fact that you now, having gone through COVID with your spouse, who had a, I don't want to say a mild case, but like, what, how would you like had, you know, is doing okay. And it was still extraordinarily hard.
Yeah. I mean, the way I've kind of been describing it is like, I think in the context of COVID, he had a quote unquote mild case. It still knocked him on his ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in a real way. And he is not someone who, he doesn't get sick very much anyway. And then when he does get sick, he, you know, he's usually fine within like a day or two, or, you know, we'll be like up and about. And he was just knocked out.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So take it seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear one more voicemail.
Hi, Kat and Dor. This is a message in response to your call for health worker messages, or essential worker messages. I'm actually not a healthcare worker, but my husband is, and so our household has been really affected by the pandemic the last 10 plus months. I guess the main thing that I wanted to share is just feeling so alienated from people who are not healthcare workers or not dealing with the public on a regular basis, and maybe like don't have basic, you know, facts about the pandemic. It just really surprises me that people continue to try to do normal things like meet up with friends or like go to the movies and things like that, or go to restaurants. In my state, there is still some dine-in options. It just shocks me that some people, or a lot of people, are continuing to live life as usual when, through at least my husband's line of work, we see that things are not the way they should be. There was a big outbreak of COVID on my husband's unit a couple months ago, and a lot of people were getting sick. You know, and at the same time, I would have friends or see on Facebook people asking questions about getting together. Is it okay to go to my in-laws for this holiday, that? And it's like, I'm at the point where I don't even want to respond because I don't understand why people are still asking me questions. This disease is killing so many people and making so many people sick. And I don't understand why more people aren't aware of that. At times I feel like I'm living in the upside down, if you're familiar with Stranger Things, So wanted to get that off my chest. Thank you for putting that call out. And I hope everyone stays safe and just think about what you're doing. Your actions have consequences, whether you know it or not, or whether you're there to see it or not. Thank you.
I'm so glad this listener said that.
Me too. I mean, that is the reality of this. And there's been so much misinformation, disinformation, bad information that I think it has just caused there to be this real, I don't even know what you call it. I don't even know how to explain what's going on right now.
Yeah.
But I appreciate this person's voice, because I do believe that the more people that speak out and share them, like, one person may hear you and it might
totally.
I know everybody always says that, it's so cheesy, but truly it might change one person's mind. And with COVID, that can impact potentially tens to hundreds of lives.
Well, Kate, let's take a break. And then when we come back, we are going to be hearing from some people who work in schools.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. And they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you. All right, we are back. This first email is from someone who says they are a teacher and dorm parent at a boarding school in New England. We've been open since August. Not only do I teach a full bill of in-person classes, hard enough right now, but I live with and care for about 20 middle schoolers in the mornings, after school, and evenings in the dorm. My life is utterly consumed with enforcing COVID protocols. I wear a mask up to 14 hours a day for up to 12, sometimes 20 days consecutively. To paint you a picture, think of navigating the inside of your typical grocery store right now. Imagine that was how you had to navigate your living space, and you've got a pretty good idea. It has been enormously stressful living with so many children, some of whom come from families that may not believe in COVID safety protections. We have just discovered one positive case in our dormitory, and I'm currently waiting on my test results to see if I have COVID. The best thing that we can do to support essential workers, and there are millions who are way more essential than me, is to do our best to abide by COVID safety protocols. Things that seem like annoyances or inconveniences are in place to make sure hospitals don't get overwhelmed and schools and businesses can be safe for those inside. If you overhear a friend or relative maligning restrictions and mask wearing, correct them. And lastly, never, ever send a sick child to school.
Whew. I can't imagine in normal times navigating the physical and emotional needs of middle schoolers, of 20 middle schoolers.
No, I didn't even really realize that there were boarding schools that took middle schoolers. My mind, they all start in high school, but I guess they don't. And the thing that is so intense about this is that this person doesn't get a break, like even in their own home.
No.
Because their home is a dorm.
Yes. Like, so it's not even like you come home from teaching.
Yeah.
And can take your mask off and chill.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. That is rough.
Yeah. And the other thing that really stood out to me about this situation, and I imagine other teachers are experiencing this at all sorts of schools, is dealing then with children whose parents may not believe in COVID protocols.
Yeah.
That's, and then you are responsible not for your own safety, the safety of other kids and the safety of that kid and the safety of whoever else, your family, your colleagues. I mean, the mental stress of that has got to be enormous.
Totally.
Well, I think that this listener makes such an important reminder, is that the best thing to do is to abide by COVID safety protocols. I think I think about this in my own life, like when I'm like about to like maybe go for a bike ride with my kids or do something. And it's like, we've got to also be really careful, because like, I can't go to the hospital right now with a broken leg. Like, I, do you know what I mean? Like, I can't add to the rush of people at hospitals.
Totally.
Like, it's not happening. So they're like, even in the ways in which we are practicing, like, you know, socially distant behavior, we still have, like, there's so many things we can do to try to hopefully, you know, make sure the hospitals don't get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I haven't broken my leg.
Yeah, thank God, Kate.
Yeah, but anyway, this is really a really interesting perspective. I'm so glad they shared.
Yeah. I think, speaking of breaking your leg, I think I mentioned on this podcast how I sliced my finger like right around Christmas, but
yes, but you didn't want to go to the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, it's like mostly fine now, but like it's an intense cut. I'll put it that way. I think in normal times, I would have considered going at least to an urgent care, although it was probably might have been too late anyway. But I was like, no way.
No. I'd say that to my kids, where I'm like, we cannot hurt ourselves right now. Sure, that's not a helpful parenting advice to them, but
well, it is what it is. All right, let's hear from a school social worker.
Hey guys, I was just cooking dinner in my kitchen and had to pause the pod because I literally said out loud, "Yes," when you're playing the voicemail from the essential worker. I'm really thankful that you guys played that voicemail. That's definitely something that's been really difficult for me. I am a social worker, in a public high school in a state where schools are reopened. And I cannot put into words the sheer amount of terror that going to work every day brings. And I find myself really, really angry a lot of the time. And I'm not angry at individual people. Well, I'm angry at, you know, like the government. But I find myself being really resentful of my friends sometimes who do have the luxury of working from home. You know, I had a friend the other day say that she's now going only to the grocery store in the morning, first thing in the morning, because that's the only time it feels comfortable for her. And, you know, there's a part of me that wanted to be like, oh, well, that must be nice that, you know, be able to make that choice about your safety. But it's not her fault that she doesn't have to go to work in a building with lots of other people. But yeah, it's been really, really challenging, and it can feel really isolating. I have some really great friends at work, but outside of that, you know, I'm the only one in my group of friends who does have to put themselves in this position every day. And it can just feel really lonely and isolating, because I think until you are in this position, it's really hard to understand what that would feel like. And I just really don't think that discussions around the physical and mental health safety of school-based staff are taken into account when discussions around school openings are happening. So I don't have any really great words of advice. You know, I try and make time for myself, but I just wanted the listener or the person that called in to say, you know, I hear that it's really hard and scary. And I would love to hear from other listeners who are feeling the same way. Thanks for everything you do. Okay, bye.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. And you know, I have so much respect for her for acknowledging that, like, no, it's not her friend's fault that, you know, she works from home and she can go to the grocery store, but like, she is still kind of allowed to feel resentful, if that makes sense.
Yes, 100%. I think 100%. And that's where I think there is a really big disconnect going on, is that the people who do not have to work in person or work on the front lines in this way just don't truly understand and can't really grasp what it's like.
Yeah. I mean, I know I can't.
No, I can't either at all. I mean, and honestly, to my own embarrassment, I don't think I had fully thought through, I had intellectually, but I don't think I had fully thought through how unfair and how anxiety inducing and how stressful it must be to take on an entirely additional job. So like, you're a teacher, but now you are also a COVID safety, you know,
right,
enforcer.
Right. Yes.
And, or, you know, you work in retail. I mean, people are taking on additional and a massive additional stress and responsibility that was not part of their job requirements in the least, or the career, you know, like, and so that's just beyond comprehension. And I think that's happening to many people right now. So I'm so grateful to be hearing about people's experiences.
Totally.
All right. Sorry, Dory.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going to say, we have a couple more teachers who reached out to us. This person is a teacher in Texas.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I am calling in response to the listener who wrote about self-care for essential workers. This listener's question really resonated with me because I'm a teacher in Texas, and we've been working in person since the beginning of the school year. And it's been very challenging and scary and frustrating. And sometimes it is really difficult to hear people complaining about working from home, even though I know everyone has their own struggles. But I would give anything to be able to stay home and stay safe. I unfortunately caught COVID because of working in the classroom. So I am really struggling with feeling angry and feeling very helpless right now as we return back to school and our COVID numbers are higher than ever. A couple of things I've done to take care of myself during this time is just radical and unapologetic self-care. I make no apologies for doing all the COVID safety things, even though people might be a little judgy. I recently purchased a reusable N95 respirator called an Invo mask, which was recommended to me in a Facebook group for teachers. I also have put extremely strict boundaries on working at home on the weeknights or weekends, which is really unusual for teachers. But I've just decided I'm not going to work at home. I'm only working during my contract hours as much as I possibly can. And of course, doing all the Forever 35 on brand things like face masks and exercising and resting. I hope this helps. And shout out to the Forever 35 Teachers Group, which has also been a big help to me. Thanks so much for your podcast. You guys have been such a huge part of my self-care. Thanks.
Aww.
Shout out to those Forever 35 teachers.
That's so cool. Yeah. I'm so glad that they have a Facebook group to support each other.
Yeah. And I loved what this listener said about radical self-care. Or how did they phrase it? Unapologetic in their choices.
Yeah.
And basically, just
it was a more polite way of saying, like, don't give a fuck about, you know, what anyone might think of their self-care choices. And I loved what they had to say about setting boundaries.
Yes. And the working just within your hours.
Yes. Yes. Which, you know, I think for teachers, as this person said, is especially tough because the expectation is there that you're just going to be working constantly.
We heard from another teacher who is a high school teacher.
Hello, Cat and Door. I am a high school teacher in Charlottesville, Virginia. Yes, at Charlottesville. We were counter-protesting the Nazis. And we have been in person since the beginning of the year. We've had some students who are in person, actually, some who are remote here in Charlottesville, and some who are remote in a different time zone. So it's been the biggest challenge of my teaching career. And I've gone into work every single day afraid because I have almost 1-year-old son, a science baby. And my husband, who's a medical researcher, he actually does COVID research, among other things, is in the high risk category as a type 1 diabetic. So on top of dealing with regular postpartum depression, then the pandemic hit. So going back into school was truly terrifying. But it has been so worth it. You know, it has been so worth it to see kids in person and see the difference we make in their lives and connect with them. And it has been so much better than Zoom school. And I'm so grateful that I get to do this job every single day. That's really where I am right now. It's just filled with gratitude for my husband, who's willing to take these risks every day to do research, filled with gratitude for the caregivers at my son's daycare who put themselves at risk to take care of him, filled with gratitude for my students who give me purpose and joy every day, and filled with gratitude for my family, who has supported me throughout this entire time, and gratitude for you both who've given me hope. So thank you so much. Hope you're well. Bye.
I feel like after every voice, I'm like, oh, but that is, I mean, I have gratitude for this listener for sharing this with us. So thank you, listener.
Yeah. And I just appreciate hearing your thoughts on the experience and how it was scary. It was terrifying and is still terrifying. I'm sure that fear never goes away, but also just hearing you talk about it. And from that perspective was really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, Jordan, this brings us to break number 2.
Sure does.
And when we come back, we'll hear from a few more essential workers and hear some of the self-care practices they are living with right now.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
All right. We have returned. I loved this email because it's from someone. It's from a person who I feel like we don't hear from people with this job very often. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciated this perspective. Hello there. I'm a 911 operator. This pandemic has been such a struggle. Where I live, we aren't allowed to go to anyone's houses, including at Christmas. We found this out when I was at work. Nothing like getting bad news while working a job where all you hear is bad news for a living. My self-care consists of baths. I love them. I love bubbles and Lush bath bombs. I pretty much have one a day, sometimes two. Working out. I work out almost daily. My job is one adrenaline rush after another, and we sit for 12 hours, five shifts in a row. Ooh. I need something to work off my adrenaline even after a 12-hour shift. My commute. I drive a half hour each way. This helps me decompress on the drive home. I listen to you guys, Busy Phillips or Gretchen Rubin. Ooh, we're in such great company. Oh, wow. Thank you. When I get home, I'm calmer and not wanting to snap on everyone in the house. I know these are pretty standard self-care things, but they help. Oh, I forgot an important one. Coffee. My Nespresso machine is heaven in a cup.
I mean, you're speaking my language there.
I mean, this is another one of those jobs where, like, it's stressful in non-COVID times.
Yeah. Like, talking about that adrenaline, having to calm down after work and burn off the adrenaline, I cannot imagine.
And just, I mean, the constant, it's just constant, like this person said.
Yeah.
Constant bad news. Like, oh, and then to add COVID on top of that, my gosh, you need like all the Lush bath bombs. I wish I could just send you like a crate of them.
Crate.
Yes. A huge crate shows up at this like person's house.
Giant, comically large, like wooden ones you have to open. Yes. With a crowbar.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And then all the bath bombs just come like tumbling out.
Yep. That's what I'm envisioning also. That's what you deserve.
You deserve this, listener. Yeah. We want to make this happen for you.
So everyone who has reached out to us, you need crates of bath bombs.
Oh, I wish we could do that.
I know. Mm. Well, at least we can fantasize about it.
We can. It's true.
Well, thank you. This was so interesting to hear about that experience. Thank you for sharing. Here's an essential worker from the Northeast. They say, my top three self-care practices are taking extra time for my skincare to offset the effects of wearing a respirator. I got bad fungal acne from the extra humidity. A chore chart to help delegate chores to my husband, who works from home, and doing at-home workouts regularly and doing stretching and foam rolling before bed, no matter what. I've also established a routine of calling my mom on my drive home to help decompress and switch my brain back to, quote, not in the hospital mode at the end of the day. Mm. I love that, calling your mom.
and like literally having to switch your brain back.
Yeah.
It's like a conscious switch flip. I almost said fitch slip, but that's not what I meant to say.
That's okay. The words
Thank
came.
You. Yeah, that they did.
Yeah, that's that I think must be really really hard, that transition from work into non-work as an essential worker. Especially we're hearing from people who there's like, for many of them, there is no off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's hear another voicemail.
Dory, this listener wanted to call in and recommend a book.
Hi, Kate and Dory. My name's Julia. I'm 24 and I'm from Massachusetts. I am currently in PA school, getting my master's in healthcare. So that means I've been rotating through different clinical sites of hospitals, primary care settings, offices during this pandemic, which has been interesting, kind of stressful, kind of rewarding, just the overwhelming, you know, fact that it's grad school, trying to, you know, live my life and stuff like that. But I just wanted to kind of suggest a book to the listeners. I don't really know if you guys do book like suggestions or anything like that, but it's called Braiding Sweetgrass. It's by Robin Wall Kimmer. This book has been more amazing than I could have even imagined it was going to be. It really talks about the author's connection with nature in the world and how everything is connected. And I've found that in times like this, where especially kind of being outdoors is the only real way people can kind of get out, it really just kind of makes you think in a way that you wouldn't have thought otherwise, and really makes you feel grounded and connected to the world and really in control. Control of your thoughts, control of the way you perceive things and how you appreciate the world around you when, you know, everything's kind of crazy and being outside is really, really important to a lot of people now. So, inaccessible. But yeah, I just wanted to maybe, suggest that. I think that she would also be an amazing person to interview. I don't know if you do interview requests, but I would really love to hear from her. Her name is Robin Wall Kimmer, and the book is Braiding Sweetgrass. Just want to say thank you so much. I listen to your podcast every day to and from work, and it really, really kind of helps me focus and take my mind off of the crazy day I've had. So thanks. Bye.
We take all suggestions.
We take book recommendations, guest suggestions.
Yeah. Bring them on.
Products, anything you want to tell us to do or buy or read or watch, we're here.
We are here.
So is everybody else listening.
We can't guarantee that we will actually do the thing, but we want to hear it.
Yes, that is a good point. Very good point.
I don't want to get anyone's hopes up and for them to be like, but you said you, and me be like, well, yeah, but.
I can, as we've established, I can barely bring myself to read or watch anything these days. So, but
I know, same.
But all recommendations are welcome, encouraged, appreciated. And this seems like a fantastic book. I did some Googling. It just seems lovely.
All right. Well, Kate, we have one last voicemail. So here we go.
Hello, Kat and Dor, and all of the Forever 35 listeners. This is Dr. Vanessa Casper. I'm a nurse practitioner specializing in internal medicine in the Midwest, and I specifically do round in long-term care facilities, assisted living, senior apartments, that type of thing. And I've lost a lot of patients this season to the COVID-19 pandemic. And I am responding to your New Year's Day episode from January 1st about finding self-care for essential workers. And I thought it would be important to reach out and say that that is actually why I started our podcast, Dose of Support. It's specifically healthcare workers sharing their stories from the front lines, talking about their specific role in healthcare. And their self-care ideas. Some people are coping really well, and some people are looking for new strategies. And so that is what our podcast is about. We are going on 30 episodes, going strong, and Dory and I have talked about that in the past during one of your office hour visits. And I'm more than happy to share the podcast with any essential worker out there that might benefit from having these hard conversations and then figuring out how we cope. So I hope you guys can play this message for your listeners and that we can stay connected. All right.
All right. So oh, sorry.
You're very enthusiastic there,
that was
Dory.
So weird. Yes. I did talk to Vanessa during one of my office hours. Vanessa was lovely. Vanessa's podcast is really great. So give it a listen. It's called, like they said, Dose of Support. Yeah.
That seems like such a necessary listen right now.
Totally. Totally.
Thank you, Vanessa, for calling in, and thank you for doing office hours with us. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kate, it's been a pleasure to hear from all of these essential workers.
It's really been amazing. We are so grateful to not just have you listening, but also helping us by sharing your stories and taking the time to call in and share them with us, because that's not easy.
And we still want to hear from you. Like, this is not, it's not like we're like, okay.
It's not one and done?
All done. Never have to hear from an essential worker again.
No, like,
please keep emailing and texting and calling us. We still want to hear from you.
Yeah, this
is
a
conversation. We're still going to keep talking about this.
Yes, we want to keep talking about it and keep sharing your stories and experiences on the show. And we do have an interview that we're scheduling for later this winter with a doctor working on the front lines of COVID. So please keep it coming. We appreciate you so much, and we have so much gratitude for what you are doing every day.
We do. Forever 35 is hosted and produced by me, Dory Shafrir, and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Sam Reed is our project manager, and our network partner is Acast, and we will talk to you all again very soon.
Bye.
Bye.